I'm John Krall. Coming up on No Limits, we're going to talk about student internships. Internships have become an increasingly important part of educational experiences. Businesses call for them, and students love them. But the increased demand and importance of internships have brought pressures to find enough opportunities for students and to make sure that the experiences are good ones. We will talk about internship do's and don'ts today on No Limits with a great panel of guests. Janet Boston, Director of Indiana InternNet, Mary Ellen Wolsey, Career Development Director at the Butler University College of Business, and Todd Richardson, a Vice President at Exact Target. Please join the conversation by calling 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits at WFYI.org, or sending a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now the day's news. Welcome to No Limits. I'm John Krall, Director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, Executive Editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking today about student internships here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits at WFYI.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We've got a great group of guests today, and I'd like to introduce them. Janet Boston, Director of Indiana InternNet and Indiana Chamber of Commerce Program. Janet, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John. I'm happy to be here.
It's good to have you here. Mary Ellen Wolsey, who is Director of Career Development at Butler University College of Business. Mary Ellen, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
It's good to have you here. And Todd Richardson, who is the Senior Vice President of Human Resources at Exact Target. That's what I get for trying to talk too fast. Todd, welcome to the program.
Thanks, John. Looking forward to the conversation.
It's good to have all of you here. And I should say, as we're talking about internships today, WFYI will be looking for a social media intern to help with Facebook and Twitter 20 hours a week. For more information, you can email volunteer at WFYI.org. There's our shameless plug. You'll hear that one probably a couple more times. Well, I want to start a little bit because this is something that's exploded. I mean, I know internships have always been part of the educational landscape, but I think we all would agree that they're a much bigger part of the landscape now, a larger hill or mountain than they were, say, a generation ago. Why is that? What makes them so important? I'll start with you, Janet Boston.
Well, I'd like to start out with the fact that they're important to our state. They're not only important to the student and the employer, but our state is interested in retaining our talent. And we know that internships, experiential learning, lead to jobs. There are statistics that prove that people get jobs that have internships.
And how is that? What makes that happen? I mean, I sort of know, but
oftentimes it's the employers are using this as one of their key recruiting tools. So they're getting an opportunity to really determine if that intern can do the work, if they fit into the culture of the organization, and they have the intent of hiring them.
Well, Mary Ellen Wolsey, I'll ask you the same question, which is, why are they as important as they are right now?
I certainly agree with what Janet says. I would also say from a student's perspective, obviously, I mean, we've calculated that about 45% of our students end up getting a post-grad job with one of the places where they did an internship. But then there are spin-off benefits of that where they may get a job through networking that they were allowed to do while they were in that internship, and they get great references, and they've got really solid experience on their resume. So it really just enhances their chances of really landing a great job and a job that fits with their career interests when they graduate.
And how much larger a part of the educational experience is it at Butler now than it would have been, say, 30 years ago?
Well, in Butler College of Business, we were really a pioneer. Mm-hmm. Our students have been required to do two internships for over 25 years, so pretty much on the cutting edge of this. And at that point, and that was before my time there, it was as much about the academic benefits as it was future careers, because it allows the students a practical playing field for what they're learning in the classroom. So they take the knowledge that they've learned and out into the field, and then they come back to classes senior year and they can bring real world experiences. And so that was really part of the initial plan. And then over the years, it's really expanded to become just as important for career development and future job placement.
And that is a theme I want to talk about a little bit later in the program. Todd Richardson of Exact Target, how important are they? Well, I'll start also with the same question. So we start with the level playing fields. Why are they as important as they are? And then the second part of that, I'll say, is how important are they to a company like Exact Target?
Yeah, critical. Critical. We are hiring by leaps and bounds, and we treat internships and that real practical experience kind of as our farm system. And, you know, much like what Janet said earlier, this gives us an opportunity to kind of test out the individual and allow them to test us out to see if there's a culture fit, to see if there's a technical skill set fit. We're actually batting a little better percentage in that about 80% of all the folks that do internships with us ultimately land full-time jobs with us. So it's as critical as any of our other talent acquisition strategies that we have on the books.
Okay. I'm going to talk a little bit, Mary Ellen. I want to pick up on your point when you talked about the academic benefits. I mean, normally I try to conduct conversations here as dispassionately, but clearly, as the director of an academic program myself, we run a tremendous number of interns in and out of our building, too, as well. And that's changed dramatically. I mean, I know when I was a journalism student back in the days when the dinosaurs still roamed the earth, the thinking was you needed one internship. You needed an internship. Now, a lot of my students, I'll have students who come out, and if they don't have double digits in the numbers of internships, it's pretty close to it. For all the reasons, and we can, I think people get the sort of recruiting, networking, job placement things. Could you talk a little bit about the academic benefits?
Well, I mentioned that they bring those experiences back into the classroom. So if they're in a senior marketing class, they can all talk about the experiences they had that summer out in their jobs and how that, you know, whatever the theory is, they can talk specifically about the application. I think it helps their learning become more relevant to them. Mm-hmm. And I think students always learn better when they understand the relevance of the coursework. And it also allows them to integrate all of the different courses that they've taken, because, of course, out in the business world, finance bumps into marketing, bumps into accounting, and I think being out there gives them the chance to see how all that works together.
Yes, Janet Boston, you had something you wanted to add.
I do. I agree with everything Mary Ellen says, but I'd like to add that it also gives the opportunity to network with more people. The student gets an opportunity to expand their sphere of influence and also to explore career opportunities. Internships can be a way for students to determine if, in fact, this is really the career they want to pursue. We know of students quite often that change their mind, and they get an opportunity then to experience another internship.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I find when we talk, if a student comes back and has decided even to switch majors or whatever, that's not a failure. It's better to find that out early on before you've committed a significant portion of your life to chasing something that wasn't bringing you satisfaction.
Exactly.
Well, then let's shift this real quickly and talk a little bit, and I'll start, keep it with you for a second, Janet. What defines a successful internship? What things should students be looking for when they're seeking internships?
Well, the literal definition is a form of a structured and supervised experiential learning experience. So what makes it very beneficial is when there's actually a program, an outlined work plan, and there's a supervisor and a mentor that are actually making sure it is an experiential learning experience, that it is successful, and where there's feedback.
And breaking that down, so is it, I mean, and I'll try to take it out of the jargon here a little bit if I can and take it away from something that's clearly had a group of people working on the statement around a table and everybody's buying into it, okay?
Sure.
And just say one of the things is when we send students out for internships, we want them doing something other than going and getting the coffee or that the work they do is actually going to be somewhat indicative of the work they would be expected to do when they were out there. Is that one standard of what defines a quality internship? Mary Ellen
Wolsey.
Yes, Wolsey.
For our students, when they're doing their official internships for academic credit, our office has the responsibility of looking at the job description to approve it. And so we look to make sure that the duties are going to be significantly rigorous to really challenge the student and allow them to draw in what they've been learning. And we ask our employers to really treat them the same way they would an entry-level employee, with the same level of expectations.
We are talking about student internships here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Todd Richardson, obviously it sounds like, how many interns, say in the course of a year, come through or have an internship experience at Exact Target?
Between undergrad and grad, we'll have anywhere between 10 and 30 folks on site doing different levels of work.
So that's the equivalent of basically a small company all by itself.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, a small business. And how do you structure those? I mean, what sorts of things do you have the interns do?
Yeah, we set a standard of we want the work to be resume worthy, and that's somewhat of a nebulous kind of statement, but you think about the work they're doing, we want them to be able to put it on a resume and for it to mean something. There's no coffee getting, there's no other administrative work, and I'll be honest, there are times when we have our weekly and biweekly check-ins when I hear some of the work they're doing for the various customers they're doing it for, and I think, oh heavens, I hope we haven't sent them into the deep end too soon.
Yeah, but taking the water wings off.
That's early. Exactly. Yeah. Right. The types of folks that we recruit for have a learning agility and high aptitude that's what they thrive on, so we try to satisfy that.
Well, and I guess on the other side of this, what are some things that, you know, and I'll throw it back to Mary Ellen Wolsey, I guess. When you say that you evaluate the internship experiences, mm-hmm. presumably that means occasionally there are people you stop placing students with or
yes.
companies. What gets you on the bad list in those cases? Okay.
What would get them on the bad list would be if once the student got out into the internship, what they ended up doing was not what was advertised, was not what had been submitted and posted as a job. That would be. But usually we try to intervene and work with the employer and see if there isn't something that can be done. You know, there are things that happen. You know, at the time that an employer is recruiting, they had a project in mind, and then the way of business is such that project, maybe a big customer doesn't come in. So we usually work with them to try to salvage it. But, you know, if we really, after those conversations, feel that things are still not getting better and the student is spinning their wheels and just making copies, then we would try to place them elsewhere so that the student still has the opportunity to have a good experience somewhere.
We are talking about student internships here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Pat, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
Certainly. Your question, please.
My question, well, first I'd like to make the comment that, of course, student teaching is the original, I think, form of internship for students, over 50 years worth of those. But I'm the mom of three recent graduates, and, of course, they had a high expectation in each of their programs at different universities that there would be internships. But there was a real difference between departments about whether those were going to be paid internships or volunteer internships and whether even paid internships were available in a field. I'm just wondering, across the curriculum at most universities, what proportion are paid and unpaid?
Good question. Thank you very much for the call, Pat. Well, I'll throw that one first to Janet Boston, I think, because you take the broadest perspective mm-hmm. here, I think.
I do. I can't answer for each university, but I can say that more and more organizations are offering paid internships. The Department of Labor has very, very strict guidelines for for-profit organizations in terms of paying their interns, unless, of course, there is a collaboration with the college or university for credit. There is actually a 6-prong test that they have to pass. And part of that test, one measure, is that the intern really gets more benefit than the employer does, and that's very hard to test.
On some of that stuff, I would think that would be very, very difficult.
Yes. Nonprofits are exempt from this.
Yes, and I, you know, in certain areas.
Government agencies are as well.
Yes.
Right.
And I do think we want to talk a little bit more because that in listening to that, and I appreciate Pat's question mm-hmm. because I think right. at times, if you're close to it, you do a lot of these things, you realize the basic concept itself probably needs to be explained. We are talking about student internships here on No Limits, and as we are doing so, WFYI will be looking for a social media intern to help with Facebook and Twitter 20 hours a week. For more information, you can email volunteer@WFYI.org. We're talking right now with Janet Boston, who is director of Indiana Intern Net and Indiana Chamber of Commerce program. That does not flow off the tongue,
it's
Janet.
Difficult.
Mary Ellen Wolvesy, director of career development, Butler University College of Business, and Todd Richardson, senior VP of HR at Exact Target. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I'm John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking today about student internships. We're fortunate to have as our guest Janet Boston, who is director of Indiana InternNet, an Indiana Chamber of Commerce program, Mary Ellen Wolvesy, who is director of career development at Butler University's College of Business, and Todd Richardson, who is the senior VP of HR, Human Resources, at Exact Target. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Just before the break there, we got a call from Pat who was asking about the breakdown between paid and unpaid internships. And it occurred to me as I was listening to Pat's question, which was a good one, that I probably hadn't done a very good job in framing this discussion and getting people to understand that an internship is first and foremost supposed to be an academic experience, that generally they're done for some sort of academic credit, although not always, and that in some ways the grade or the academic credit is considered to be the student's compensation for the effort, just like the grade in the classroom or whatever it is. That said, many of them are paid. Could we talk a little bit? I know, Mary Ellen, you place a lot of students and work with a lot of students in these things. Are there general rules of thumb or distinctions that as to the paid or unpaid?
I would say that for the most part, it's driven by the market and the employers who are willing to pay. And my personal bias is that I think that every employer should try to pay something. We work with a lot of not-for-profits that at least have a stipend or some type of a benefit that they give to the students. But that said, if a student wants to pursue an internship in an area where it's not paid, and oftentimes that's because that industry has students lined up at their door who mm-hmm. are willing to work for free, and so they don't pay. We wouldn't block them from doing that if that's their career path that they want to choose. But we honestly, I think if it's a paid internship, everybody takes it more seriously. I think the employer wants to make sure that they're getting value for the dollar, and they're more likely to treat the intern with the same expectations that they would have of an employee, and I feel that the same is true for the student.
Well, and there also is that the argument in some cases that if the internship is not paid, it can be almost an economic disqualifier that there are students who can't afford to pursue the opportunity at that point, and you're cutting, and the employers then are cutting themselves off from that talent pool as well.
They are.
What's Exact Target's philosophy on
right.
this?
So we definitely pay. Okay. Fair days pay for fair days work. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, it is money well spent, especially with the expertise of the students that are coming out, be it between sophomore, junior, senior year for the most part. The level of business acumen that they're coming out with institutions mm-hmm. like Butler, it's quite impressive. And we take it as our responsibility to pay a fair wage for that. We also, however, stress that this internship opportunity is more than the paycheck. We had talked earlier, and Janet had made a comment around it's important to understand what you like as well as what you don't like, and that's something mm-hmm. I stressed to my folks on day one. Use this internship as an opportunity to figure out what you don't want to do in life, because you won't get that many opportunities like that in the future.
Yeah, I remember one of my early internships, and again, this was a long, long time ago, involved working at a newspaper and doing a lot of writing, which was part of the profession as well, but it also involved, this will date myself, luncheons where they'd bring in these fabulous speakers over at the athletic club with, you know, these high, heavy caloric lunches. And I thought, oh, you know, for the rest of my life, they're not just going to ferry people in to talk to me and feed me well as part of the experience. What, in terms of orienting your interns, how do you go about doing that, Todd? It sounds like you've got a pretty extensive program.
Yeah, it's very programmatic. So the program is branded from day one. It's called our Slingshot program. All Slingshot candidates come on the same day. Mm-hmm. They start the same day. They have what amounts to about a week-long orientation. And they get orientated with who we are as a company, what drives us, what is the culture. They also get orientated to what we do, what is interactive marketing, and what are the various aspects of our technology that they may or may not touch in a given summer. And then from there, we have weekly touch points with a variety of folks, everyone from executives to they each have a personal mentor that's assigned from day one.
We have talked about this primarily from the student's perspective so far. Probably ought to talk about it a little bit from the business's perspective. And I assume, Janet Boston, that is part of what you do, too, is help companies structure,
yes, definitely,
you know, strong and useful internship programs.
Yes, we actually offer resources for employers on our website.
Go ahead and plug the website.
Thank you. You've had a shameless plug. I have one, too.
Go ahead. Yeah.
www.indianaintern.net.
Do that again, please, because people might not have heard
it. www.indianaintern.net. It's actually a matchmaking website for employers to find interns and vice versa. But we also have a resource, an employer's guide, and this goes through the steps of how an organization would determine if they're ready for internships, what kinds of positions they could have internships in, how would they structure it. There's assessment forms, everything they need. And if an employer needs some help, we're available to help them set up their program. Because employers, there are a lot of misperceptions out there about internships, and we're out there to try to help them get past that.
What are some of the misperceptions that they have?
Well,
we've talked
a little bit about coffee and bringing the mail and opening the mail and getting coffee and those things. But outside of that, I think sometimes employers have hurdles to internships, and they'll say, we don't have the amount of projects, or we don't have the management to supervise, or we don't have space. And I would like to talk a little bit about some new trends in internships. We're seeing more and more virtual internships and project-based internships from employers. They may not necessarily meet the academic requirements of our colleges and universities, but we do have they really work well for employers meeting those needs. If they don't have the space, they don't have the number of projects. Virtual internships can be off-site, remote. In this day of technology, we're used to working remotely. And they also, from the student perspective, work a lot with students who may be handling some of our alternative students that may be working, managing a family, going to school, and need to get an internship too.
We're talking about internships here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Got an email question from a listener named Vince, who says, as a recent graduate of IUPUI, I've seen many of my fellow classmates fall prey to becoming free or cheap labor under the guise of internships at for-profit companies here in Indianapolis. As your guest mentioned, the state of Indiana has guidelines for what constitutes an internship, but neither the university placement staff nor most of the companies themselves seem to know this. My question is, who polices this, and why isn't this very short list of definitions common knowledge for all parties involved? Are we, Marion Ellen Wolvesy, I'll throw this your way. I mean, is there, and that is one of the complaints that, mm-hmm. that you hear, concerns about internships, is that they become a way to avoid having to hire other labor or whatever to bring in cheap labor, particularly in places where there has been some labor unrest or some issues in terms of negotiating.
Yeah. I mean, we're fortunate in that the majority of our students, I think 80 to 85% of them, are working in paid internships. And usually if it's an unpaid internship, it is a not-for-profit or it's a government agency. But I frankly, I mean, I agree with the individual who sent the email. I feel that for-profit organizations should pay. The question of who's going to police this got a lot of press a couple of years ago. I think it started out on the East Coast and got kicked around for a while, and now it seems like it's died down. But I don't know, Todd, if you want to chime in on this.
Todd Richardson, yeah. Yes, please.
You know, clearly there are state and federal laws around wage and hour, and what Vince complains of or talks about, I guess, in his email is something that the Department of Labor would generally have jurisdiction over. As an employment at-will state, all of us have options as to where to work, and I would suggest anyone that's looking for internships, make sure you're very clear on the expectations of what is or is not going to happen. Despite the tightness of the labor market and internship opportunities, folks still need to be very choosy where they go. And if it doesn't smell right from a wage perspective, my strong suggestion is to avoid that as an opportunity.
Janet Boston, please.
I would like to chime in, though, that I would not discourage a student from taking an unpaid internship,
sure,
particularly with a nonprofit or for college credit, because it can be some of the best experience that they will get.
It's and I guess I'd like to broaden Vince's question here a little bit and just talk about abuses, really, of internship programs. What are some of the common ones? What are warning signs that either students and or parents can look for that maybe this is not a good fit? Or because, frankly, and Mary Ellen can probably speak to this, a lot of these students, particularly the hard drivers, are so determined to go in there and make a good impression that they'll end up doing things, you know, in part to get that sort of ratification or whatever. That they really shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, we have a workshop that our students are required to attend before they go out on the internships called Backpack to Briefcase, and we try to cover some issues of what they should expect in the workplace. It gets into business etiquette and things of that nature, but we also talk to them about the types of things that they should bring to our attention early if they see them going on. I mean, there's no...
Such as?
Well, there's certainly no reason why a student should ever put up with something that smacks of sexual harassment or bullying, office bullying. Unfortunately, I think, you know, sometimes a student intern can appear to be a low person on the totem pole, and there can be unfair advantage taken. I'm glad to say that that doesn't happen often, but in my 10 years at Butler, I can only think of one instance where a student came to me, and I pretty quickly identified that this was a situation where they were taking advantage, and we took the student out of the internship.
But and what are the consequences of something like that? Because then the student loses the academic credit, presumably.
No, we place the student with another employer so they could wrap
up
there.
They could salvage it?
Yep, they salvage it. Because it wasn't the student's problem. This was really clearly driven by the employer.
And I think I'm going to bring this over to Todd Richardson, since I think you probably monitor the most closely, having to deal with, you know, you've got the most direct contact with interns in the workplace right now. How do you monitor, make sure that they aren't being taken advantage of or not being used in ways that are inappropriate?
Well, first way is we treat all interns like we would any other employee. So it's really a monitoring of the total workforce. And thankfully, we're one of the best workplaces to work in the city and the state, and we take that very seriously. So I don't want to necessarily draw a distinction between interns and employees. They're all one and the same for us. At the same point, we have more touch points with interns with multiple different folks. So our CEO will meet with them 1 week, our CFO the next week, CMO the next week, as well as various folks from human resources or our Slingshot and Catapult program. So if there are issues, they're identified very quickly, and we can remedy, you know, work-life balance issues, or maybe an individual had an expectation they'd be working on X project and we're instead giving them Y project. That's about the highest level of dissatisfaction that we see in our program.
Is that, and is one of the challenges here getting the, I mean, what you're saying, you know, you came in thinking you might work on X project, but instead you're assigned Y project. That sounds a little bit just like real life to me.
Yeah.
You know, that's right. The way these things work. Is there a learning curve for students to realize that sometimes, you know, that you've got to be adaptable to that, Janet Boston.
Well, I would like to say yes, there is, because I think often students come in thinking that's all they're going to work on are the great projects. And they have to realize that they're going to get those great, meaningful projects, but there's going to be some things that they don't like to do every day, just like you and me, all of us sitting here in the room.
There's a heightened level of entitlement, especially with the millennial generation, that we all just need to be cognizant of and respective and responsive to.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because that is kind of the knock you hear on this generation, that the work ethic is just different, that they don't want to work perhaps quite as hard. I'm not saying whether that perception is accurate or not. It's just, you know, that's the one that the knock on this generation. And there's also the sense of, to use your term, Todd, entitlement. Is that an accurate perception first? And how do you go about combating it? I'll Janet, you're shaking your head. So,
well, I have trouble with stereotyping any group. So I have seen interns in this category that are very much overachievers and don't have that sense of entitlement. And I've seen those that do. Obviously, these groups, these names come from nationwide perceptions. So I guess I would like to just say I don't want to put everybody in the same group.
Mary Ellen Wolsey.
We have a supervisor evaluation form that's completed on our students at the end, and I can't say that I've ever really seen entitlement as an issue or a complaint. And adaptability is one of the things that we talk to the students about in that workshop that I mentioned, where the real world is such that the project that they thought you were going to be working on may shift. Business demands are different, and part of their job is to be flexible and to look for opportunities to make a difference and make a contribution. And they need to be stepping up and offering. If the area that they're in isn't busy, they should walk over to another department and see what they can do to
and
help.
Show initiative.
Absolutely, initiative. I would say that is the number one thing that we hear from employers as a positive, and a reason why a student is asked to join them after they graduate is initiative.
And to drive Todd Richardson.
We typically look, as we're screening folks, we look for learning agility and flexibility as real key factors in whether to choose an individual to come on board or not, which helps to alleviate that.
Janet Boston, I think you wanted to jump in on this as well.
If there's one thing that we hear from employers, it's not so much the sense of entitlement, but it's more that these students are lacking the soft skills. This is a topic that comes up.
And define the soft skills real quick.
Well, the ability to interact, to get on the phone and call people. I think this generation is so connected to their technology that oftentimes they haven't had those socialization skills.
Well, and my perception also in terms of someone who spends a lot of time around college students also is that there is a much more transactional approach to things and to this idea of learning. I think the initiative thing as the separator, Mary Ellen Wolsey, that you were talking about is key here, because a lot of students, in part because this is the way, you know, we structured with a high standards testing and all of that, is they think, okay, you tell me exactly what you want me to do. I will try to execute that beautifully, and then we're done. And the idea that I'm going to look outside those expectations, see if there's anything else that might be done, is that a challenge? Because obviously, Todd Richardson, you guys are in a very creative, you know, opportunity, seeking out the opportunity and pursuing it.
Yeah, we like flexible utility players, folks that have the agility to do one specific task on a Monday and flip to a different task on Tuesday. One of our managers is known for saying, as a slingshotter, we expect you to run to the fires and ask how you can help as opposed to run away from the fires. And our folks that really prosper or successful are the ones running to the fire saying, not sure how I can help, but plug me in where you see fit.
We are talking about student internship programs here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Janet Boston, who is director of Indiana InternNet, and Indiana Chamber of Commerce program, Mary Ellen Wolvesey, who is Director of Career Development at Butler University's College of Business, and Todd Richardson, who is the Senior VP of Human Resources at Exact Target. You're listening to No Limits. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, Director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, Executive Editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking today about student internships. My guests are Janet Boston, who is Director of the Indiana InternNet and Indiana Chamber of Commerce program. I'm going to get through that once, obviously, in this program before we're done. Mary Ellen Wolvesey, who is Director of Career Development, Butler University College of Business, and Todd Richardson, who is the Senior VP for Human Resources at Exact Target. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. We've gotten a tweet from Allie. It says, it might be interesting to talk about how college grads and adults changing careers take up internships to break into an industry. Janet Boston, you're literally leaning into the microphone. You're so desperate to talk
Thank
about
you,
that
Allie.
One.
Yeah. Actually, this is another new area that I'd like to talk about, because one of the things that we did when we relaunched our website last year was added the categories of post-grad and non-degree seeking and returnships, because we realized that internships today are not just for college students. We're seeing more and more interest with high school students, but also those people who may have been out of the workforce, coming back in, maybe post-grad, haven't found a job, and they're wanting to learn new skills or get into an industry. So we're seeing some successes with employers offering those types of internships, too.
Is there, I mentioned earlier in the program that now I've had at least one student I can think of, former student now, who came out of 4 years of college with I think, 11 internships, yeah, something like that. Is there a law of diminishing returns that takes over at some point where you think the benefit of this is Mary Ellen Wolvesey?
I guess I would wonder, you know, being a full-time student and managing to squeeze in 11 internships, I would wonder what some of those internships were all about and how much time was really spent there. I think unless the student can really spend a certain amount of time, dedicate like maybe 20 hours a week or so, they don't have the opportunity to really become part of the organization and understand what's going on there.
So there's Todd Richardson, you're shaking your head.
Whether it's 1, 5, or 11, it needs to be meaningful.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
if you can have 11 meaningful experiences, I guess more power to you, that would seem to be very difficult for me.
Technically, I think the way it struck, a lot of them were with the same place, returning,
gotcha.
That
okay.
they kept asking the student to return and do more work. Janet Boston.
Well, and when I talk about virtual internships, we have some employers here in Indianapolis that will have an employee for a summer as a full-time intern, and then they offer them a virtual internship when they go back to school. So I could see how feasibly someone could work that many internships in during the course of their education.
Yeah, particularly if you start plugging in the summers and all
right,
of that.
Right.
I will say it was, while this student was busy, he had found plenty of time to engage in traditional student behavior as well. In terms of, you know, where this is going, are there new areas? We've talked about the sort of, you know, career change model here. Are there other ways that we could push out the internship model? As you were talking, Jan, I was thinking, you know, is this something actually for, a possibility for, retired people who want to limit the amount of work that they will do, but still want to learn or take on something new?
I think that would be a possibility if, in fact, it was framed as an internship with the learning experience. As you mentioned that, I was thinking about some of the trends. There's more and more interest in taking the internship back further to the high school level. I think that's a little more difficult for employers to handle, but there's a lot of interest in that area in terms of finding internships for high schoolers.
Where is the interest coming from?
I think it has to go with when you look at the statewide information we're getting in terms of preparedness, mm-hmm. that we're realizing that it really our students coming out of high school need to have a grasp of what types of careers they're interested in to, in order to make wise decisions, get through college in 4 years, or to go to, not go to college, but to go into a some sort of a certification program. And this is, comes stems from a lot of times the information that we're seeing as a state, where we realize there are employers out there that have positions, but they can't find the employees to match their needs.
Mary Ellen.
Yeah, I was just going to tag on to that to say that there are certain industries that are very competitive in their recruiting. I mean, they're competitive with each other, and they really want to build a pipeline. So insurance industries, public accounting, I mean, they would really love to connect with these students as early as possible to plant the seed to pursue a future career in their industry.
Well, and Todd Richardson, everybody was pointing at you when they were saying that about industries that are very, very competitive. Why would are you guys interested in trying to identify talent as early as high school? Or,
you know, we have had some high school folks come and do more repetitive work for us, but at the level of technical expertise that we need for the various work, high school probably doesn't scratch that itch. Mm-hmm. We are very competitive. We don't want all of the folks interning for us that are available. We had about 400 individuals apply for our internship this past year. We picked 12 of those to come on this summer. And, you know, that select group we're able to provide a meaningful experience to.
So basically you had about 3% got selected of the people who applied.
Correct.
So, which is, yes, Janet Boston.
Well, I was going to add, when we talk about high school interns, Indiana InternNet, mm-hmm. first time you had me say it, has a partner with the Fort Wayne Chamber of Commerce with their graduate retention program, and they've been doing a lot of work this year in that area. And when we talk to them about it, they really maybe literally shouldn't be called an internship. Maybe it's more of an externship, that a lot of those are becoming shadowing or 1 to 2 day experiences,
where you get to follow somebody
exactly.
around and sort of model the behavior. And I presume most of them are not paid. If you're watching someone else work, it's a little harder to make the justification to pay them.
Correct.
Or is that Todd Richardson?
Yeah, I mean, similar to what I mentioned earlier, if whether you're in high school or you're in college and you're doing an internship type work, internship, externship, or even shadowing, we will pay for that.
Well, that's interesting. We are talking about internships here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Well, as we're talking about this, are there obstacles, and I'm going to toss this back to Janet Boston, with, you know, the way the structure, the way we teach, that make it difficult to structure internship programs? I would think in the high school, as we were talking about this area, you know, since there are so many guidelines about how often they can be away from school, how many classes they can miss, all of that sort of stuff, it would make part of the beauty of the college experience is there's some flexibility in the hours that the student can be available. There's less of that at the high school, but do we need more flexibility?
Well, and to add, at the high school level, you do have child labor laws too often that you have to take into consideration also. Now, I would say our colleges and universities do an excellent job of really integrating internships into the curriculum. As Mary Ellen has spoken, their requirements in many of their areas. And if anything, we're just encouraging students to think about them earlier and more often.
Mary Ellen Wolsey, you're nodding your head. Is that?
Yeah, I was just going to say that while we require 2 internships as part of the academic program, we encourage our students to do as many as possible. So we have students that go out, you know, maybe the summer after freshman year and get some really great experiences. Maybe it's not at the level that we would expect them to do after junior year, but it might be their first exposure to a professional environment. If it's an industry that they're interested in, maybe they're just at that point doing some fairly routine copying and clerical work, but that still gives them an opportunity to be in that environment, to talk to people. Getting out and networking is the key, whether it's as a volunteer to just go out for a couple of days and tag along and talk to people. The more the students get out there and meet people, the better.
When you talk about the expectations of, mm-hmm. say, a junior or senior, mm-hmm. in terms of those being codified, what do you expect students to get out of those experiences? When they come back, when you do your debriefing at the end of it, what do you expect them to have learned or gained from the experience?
Well, and I should ask also that just working doesn't earn the academic credit. They write papers. So the whole time that they're in the internship, they're writing papers that they're submitting to a professor that is specifically talking about their internship experience and talking about how they've been applying their coursework. So they do organizational analysis. They come back and do a presentation. So they don't earn credit just for the work experience. But on the work side, I would expect that they have applied some of their skills, that they've enhanced them. It gets back to what you said, Todd, about resume-worthy experiences. I would hope that they would have something specific that they did, some contribution, a value that they added that they can add to a resume and that they could speak to in an interview, and helped redirect their careers. They should get out and network with as many people as possible while they're out there.
Todd Richardson.
I'll tell you, and this is from the business side of the house, seeing the internship requirement that Butler has, the level of candidate that we're seeing graduate from Butler and ultimately we hope to hire is very high. So I know Butler has a number of different aspects that go into the final product and the wonderful student that's being produced coming out of Butler, the internship and the business acumen of those individuals is very evident, and I would root that in the internships that are taking place.
Thank you.
Well, you got a plug here.
Thank you. There's my plug.
We've all gotten a chance of shameless plugs here.
And actually, I would like to plug both ExactTarget and Butler, because it's what you're hearing here is an example of a great collaboration between colleges, universities, and the business community, the corporate community.
Well, and while we're talking about this, I mean, is this also, are internships part of a bigger picture? I mean, we've talked about in this state for as long as I can remember, challenge of really retraining talent. We give it the brain drain is the term we talk about. Janet Boston.
Well, basically, that's an opportunity for a plug for my organization, because that's how Indiana InternNet started 11 years ago. It was as a result of the brain drain research that showed that we were losing our talents to other states. And again, hearkening back to the fact that internships do statistically show that people get jobs and stay in the state, we started this program to advocate to employers throughout the state to have internships, to work with our colleges and universities, and also with the students themselves.
We track that data every year.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, we track that data every year, and typically 70 to 80% of our students who were Indiana residents choose to stay here in a postgrad job. But even more impressive is anywhere from 32 to 50% of our students who came from out of state and arrived at Butler choose to stay in Indiana for a post. So we're bringing in some of those students from out of state.
So,
and it's largely because they connect with employers
the trade
through
imbalance
the internship.
Now works in our favor.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We try to sell two things to our interns. Yeah. We try to sell ExactTarget, and we try to sell the city of Indianapolis and the state of Indiana. And we are only successful if we can sell all of those things, the whole package.
Well, and I think probably we're getting near the end of the program here. I guess what I would like to leave people with is if we could talk a little bit, let's assume that you're an 18-year-old kid. We're just at the start of the school year here, thinking about, you know, what internships you should be pursuing going forward, or the parent of that 18-year-old child. What things should you be looking for first? Janet Boston.
A couple of suggestions. First, I would say go to the Career Services office at your college and university. Secondly, I am going to give a plug again, but we do have a website, indianaintern.net, and right now there are 1,000 positions on there. I can tell you I know that ExactTarget is actually now posting their positions for their summer internships, so act quickly. The good internships go fast.
And Mary Ellen Wolsey.
I would also encourage a younger student to get out and do job shadows as well as many information interviews as they can, just as an exploration. Those can lead to opportunities, but that will also help them determine what direction they'd like to take.
Todd Richardson, it sounds like you're looking already. You're looking like 9 months ahead.
Never too early to start.
What kinds of things, when you say, and obviously this is a very selective internship, if you've got 400 who apply and only 12, you know, get tabbed, that's by my math, that's 3% get chosen. What things do you look for? What are the kinds of things that students should be looking to supply you with before they even get to the point where they apply to you?
Yeah. Grades open the door. Mm-hmm. Community involvement gets you further in. Mm-hmm. Leadership opportunities that you've taken advantage of push you further in. And then I need to see passion. I need to see passion for what we do. I need to see passion to help our customers. And that, to me, is the full package.
And when you say passion to help, how do the students manifest that or happens, demonstrate it?
You know, it takes many different forms. I've received everything from a shoe with a description of the individual explaining that they want to get their foot in the door, and that was quite unique. I've seen
did that one work? Did that?
It didn't work, but it's still it's sitting
memorable.
On my shelf at the
it's
office.
Memorable. Okay.
I've seen Gatorade bottles with individuals with their pictures imposed on there with a little description. I've seen folks that think outside the box and really separate themselves from the other 400 folks that are applying.
Janet Boston, if you were advising a student real quickly, or parent, say, to launch, going after someplace like an internship at Exact Target, what would you tell that student to do?
I would tell them to prepare their resume, get their ducks in order, probably to use social media, to go to the website, indianaintern.net, look to the resources that we have available there, and just really give it their all. Get involved in the community.
Well, I guess I'll toss in something I think is pretty obvious, but as a journalist, if you're going after an internship at a place like Exact Target, study Exact Target.
Yes.
Study the company, find out what its priorities are. I had an editor, one of my mentors, who said that the most useful piece of advice I think I've ever got professionally, if you're applying for a job or asking anyone for anything, start the letter with the word you rather than the word I. Yeah. Emphasize that helping them is more important than anything else. This has been a marvelous conversation. I'd like to thank all three of you for joining me. I'd like to thank Janet Boston, who is the director of Indiana InternNet. I got through it again. And Indiana Chamber of Commerce program for joining us. Janet, pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, John.
And Mary Ellen Wolvesey, who is Director of Career Development at Butler University's College of Business. Mary Ellen, it has been delightful having you here.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Certainly. And Todd Richardson, Senior Vice President of Human Resources at Exact Target. It's been a pleasure having you here as well.
John, thank you.
And we are going to talk about the convention business and travel next week on No Limits. Please join us. I'm John Kroll. Have a great week.
No Limits is a production of WFYI Public Radio, 90.1 FM and HD1. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each Thursday at 1 p.m. for No Limits, rebroadcast at 8 p.m., and you can listen online at wfyi.org.